I wanted to quickly share with you what the purpose of God is, so we can remind ourselves on that message. And so I'm going to, I know we've already gone 25 minutes here, but shake it off, and we're going to do an abbreviated message today. Are you ready? Okay. Everybody awake? All right. You all look good. All right. Here we go. Isaiah 46, verse 10, it says an amazing thing about God, or God is saying about himself. It shows us that God is a very unique creature, or very unique being. Matter of fact, he's unique in the sense that he's the only one not created, but he's also unique in that he says, I declare the end from the beginning. So no other being can do that. Matter of fact, because God can do that, it blows our mind. We cannot even comprehend how God declares something from the beginning, what will happen in the end. I mean, we're not talking about one day here, right? We're talking about generations of days, right? And it's been since the creation, or when man was created, you know, over 6,000 years we're talking about here, right? And who would have ever thought back then the world that we live in now? Well, God saw it all. He understood it all, and he has planned for it. So it says, from the ancient of times, not yet done. And then he says, my counsel shall stand. I will do what is my pleasure. See, God's going to accomplish what his purpose is, what his plans are. They will be done. Whatever they are, they shall be accomplished. So if we look at that, we can look at Proverbs chapter 8. Let's look at that quickly. If you look at Proverbs chapter 8, it's all about wisdom. It's talking about wisdom as a person. It says wisdom cries out, and wisdom comes at the crossroads, at the points of decision. So wisdom is there when we need to make a decision. Do we go right or do we go left? So what we see is that wisdom, it says in 22, that God possessed me, that's wisdom, at the beginning of his way. So what it tells us is that God possessed wisdom, that he made decisions. He set a purpose. And he decided to go right or left or straight. I don't know how to define it, but he made a decision. And so what it says is that wisdom was with him when he decided to create the universe and when he decided to create the earth. And we see it's made with great wisdom. We could talk about that all day, all the different aspects of how we're made, how the earth is made. It's all made with great wisdom, with great precision, with amazing things that we call science. It's an amazing place where we live, with beauty and function. But then in verse 30, it says that, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. I was his delight. Daily, I was his delight. And then it says, rejoicing with him always. So we see that God is getting excited about something. Something that wisdom is saying, I'm going to make a decision to do something. And then he says, my delight was with the Son of Man. So what we see is that God's excitement came when he created man. And he was making a decision about something. So let's turn back to Genesis and let's see what he did when he made man. If you look at chapter 2, it's a verse we're all familiar with. It says that God formed man from the dust of the ground, verse 7. And he breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. So what we see is that in chapter 1, it says, let us make man in our image. So what we see is that we were created in the image and likeness of God. So there's something about man that's unique from all of his creation where he made us like him. There's something about us that is from the nature of God. So we're different. We're special. We're created in his image. So he made us, and then Adam is there all by himself, taking care of the garden, and God comes to him one day, and he says in verse 18, "Well, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make for him a helper come suitable to him." I think when God came and said this to man, he's like prophesying to the man. It's not good for you to be alone. And Adam says, "Oh, that's why I feel the way I feel. There's no one else for me. A monkey has a mate. A frog has a mate. You know, what is this? Right? I feel lonely." So I think God trying to teach man, he's always trying to teach us something. And he says, well, he brings all the other animals and he names them all. And as he goes through and he's saying, "Oh, that's a cow. Oh, that's nice. That's an interesting creature, but it's not for me. You know, look at the dog. It's a great companion. You know, he's always by my side, but, you know, it's really not for me." And so he finishes that whole process, and he realizes it's not good for me to be alone. Who do I have? So what does God do? What does the Father do? He puts Adam to sleep. And he opens up his side, and he takes out the rib, and he creates the woman. He brings the woman and presents the woman to the man, and he says, "Whoa, man. This is flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone, and I shall call her woman because she was taken out of the man." And then it gives a little side thing. "For this reason, a man shall leave his home and cling to his wife and have a beautiful relationship, compatible, comparable, suitable to him, a helper." Let's move forward about 4,000 years. And Jesus came on the earth. And in 2 Corinthians 15, it calls Jesus the last Adam. And the Father puts him to sleep. And when he was asleep, it says a soldier came, took a spear and pierced his side. And it said immediately blood and water flowed. Well, what is that? It's the church being born. Coming out of the side of Christ is both blood for our salvation and water, which represents the Spirit, and water baptism that has several meanings, but it's the birth of the church. It's not good for God to be alone. I will make for me someone suitable for me. See? The purpose is not that all men shall be saved, though part of the plan is for men to be saved. But if his purpose was for all men to be saved, then all men would be saved. But we know that's not going to happen. But of the ones that are saved, he's building into a body. He's building into a bride that he's preparing for his son, the bridegroom. And that day, when God the Father takes the bride and presents it to the last Adam hasn't happened yet. We're not ready yet. It says that the bride will come to him without spot or blemish. And I look around the church and I say, whoa. Look at that. We're not that. There's lots of division. There's lots of problems. There's lots of things going on that are not godly in the church. And yet, I know the purpose of God is for that. And it shall be accomplished. Because I will do. My counsel shall stand. I will do my pleasure. And his pleasure is to take us as individuals that have been saved by the blood of Christ and build us into something that's absolutely beautiful. And as that bride on that day, Christ will not be contained in heaven, and he will come for his bride. And he will not be held back. No, nothing on earth will hold him back. So this is God's plan. This is God's purpose. And therefore, here we are, not worried about the aggravations, not concerned about our feelings on a Friday night before we come to church, but we are able to set aside all of us and look to what God is accomplishing. For we shall be more than a team. We are the bride of Christ, a precious thing that is not an organization, but an organism, because we're a living thing that God will place and is placing his Holy Spirit in. And like he breathed into Adam, we are becoming alive unto him. And I'm excited about that. It's what gets me up in the morning. It's what lets me go to sleep without worry at night. Because it does not matter if I live the rest of my life as a poor man. It does not matter if my leg has to be amputated and I lose a leg for the rest of my life. It does not matter if my skin never gets healed and I'm itchy the rest of my life. Sometimes I want to tear it off. It's so bad. But that does not matter because of the glory that God is bringing to his church, that he's going to present to the whole universe, is his body, is his bride. And that is an amazing thing that we are all a part of. And we cannot comprehend what eye has not seen, and what ear has not heard, and what we cannot comprehend what God has for us. Because of who we are. Someone comparable or suitable to God. We complete him. That's what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, whatever, at the end of the chapter says, is that Christ is the head of the church and we his body, and we fulfill him. We complete him. I struggle with that verse because how can you complete God? But somehow, this is his purpose. And I do not understand it all, but he is doing something that He has promised, and we are all a part of that. So, thank you for supporting us. Thank you for being part of that body and praying for the body, part of our body down in Mexico. And what we see is that we are not the only body. The church is a universal church, and it is something that God is producing or calling up out of the world, that the world system that we have. It's almost hidden behind all of the religious practices, and there's something happening in our earth that the spirit will the earth cannot, the things of the system cannot hold it back, because it's going to explode onto the scene and great persecution. But hallelujah, that's His purpose. He does things that are beyond my thinking, beyond your thinking. But we see in the end that He's accomplished something that's amazing. A small thing like this trip, we went down with a couple of things, and what God completed was amazing. It was like something I couldn't have planned, because it's of God. And I love doing that. I love being able to walk by the Spirit and see what God accomplishes. Because it's not our glory, it's not my wisdom, it's God's wisdom when He accomplished something. And that's what's exciting. I can lay aside my pride, I can lay aside all my attitudes, and just begin to see what God will unfold before us. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing what God is doing here. He has taken us from a body that had problems quite a few years ago and made us a family as well. And we care for one another. And I love that. I appreciate that. And I understand that God is doing something which is a miracle. Hallelujah. So let me pray for you guys. We've been away, and I have prayed a lot, but I want to pray with you. Okay, so Lord Jesus, I just pray that You would just come and complete this word in our hearts. Lord, I pray that it would be something that we would comprehend with revelation, Lord. You speak to us by revelation. So, Lord, I pray for revelation to come on this subject, and that we would be able to lay aside all our concerns and all our problems and just look forward to what You are accomplishing with us and in our midst, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that You would expand it, Lord Jesus, that You would just continue to use us and expand what You have for us, Lord Jesus. Lord, You are so patient with us, and we are thankful for that. But Lord, we also ask that You would just continue to put us through what we need to go through to be able to come out as that pearl on the other side. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.